So we're on Kuftes Vav and Aleph. Yesterday, we spoke about Klal Yisroel, trying to figure out why Klal Yisroel are mutter in the light of Rav Ashi's sheet about Kol Shetiavti L'Chorei B'Chlal O'Tochal. And certainly this is Gufa Toeva. This is the product of two minim that were planted together and violating the law of Sot Chalot Tisra Kalayim. But the Gemara answers that we have a Hekesh between Klai Zeroyim and Klai Behema, because the Torah in the one Pasuk says in Kedosh Behem Chalot Sabia Kalayim Sot Chalot Tisra Kalayim. Now in the case of Behema, he took two Minim and he crossbreeds these two Minim and he has a Vlad, and the Vlad itself is Mutav Achila. And the Gemara questioned that premise. How do we know that the Vlad of Klai Behema is Mutav Achila? And the Gemara says that if it would have been Asa Achila, then certainly it would have been Asa L'Gavoa as a Karbon. And yet, the Torah went out of its way to teach us that the Vlad of Klai Behema is Asul Akrava, Asul Mizbeach. And that's a drasha in the Gemara back on Daf Lamed Chesam and Beis from the Pasuk that says Sharo Kesev O Eiz Yeratzel Karbani Shel Hashem
Prat
L'Kilayim. So that's called in the Gemara's language, Mida Asar Rachmana Kilayim L'Gavoa Michlal D'Lehejot Shari. Because once again, the logic would be that if it was Asar Achilas Adam, then we would not need a special drasha, a pasuk, to teach us that's Pasul L'Akrava. Then the Gemara asks, what about Oso V'es Bino? See, now let us shech the Behemah and its Vlad on one day, and that's based on a pasuk by Yikra Chaf Beis, Beshar Oseh Osov Es Benolo Sishcha Tu Biyom Echad. And this means you shechted the aim, and then you shechted the vlad, you shechted the vlad, and then you shechted the aim, in any sequence whatsoever. If both shechitas took place on the same day, you violate this law. So what would be with regard to these behemos that he shechted, right, the parent and the offspring on the same day? And the Gemara thinks that this should come under the principle of kol sheti avti lecha harehu bebal tochal. And in fact, that's not so, because although he violated nisu shechita, the vlad or the aim, the behema itself, is mutter. Now, if we go with Rashi Shita, that to'eva means gufa to'eva, that you've created something new as a result of the avera. The averas don't create some new entity, as in the case of basa v'cholav, or perhaps in the case of kelayim. How would that apply logically to osov es bino? Meaning, the Gemara's kasha, its underlying premise seems to support Tosus's view against Rashi. Rashi holds that you need gufa toeva. Tosus says that if nasa b'avera, then any object which was used for an avera becomes osa b'toras toeva, and therefore an osa v'espino, insofar as he violated the avera through the shechita, then the animals themselves, as a result of the shechita, should be considered toeva, because nasa b'avera.
Where's the Rashi
on
this issue?
The Rashi itself is back in Rav Ashi. Let's go back to Rav Ashi, which is on Daf Kuf Yudal in Amud Beis. One second. Oh, here it is. Ravashi says, "Minayin lebos v'chol of shalsa b'achila shenemer lo sochal kol mevela kol shetiyavti l'cha hareu bebal tocha." And Rashi says, "Kol shetiyavti l'cha kol shasarti l'cha l'ta'avo u'lisrachek memenu." And then the Gemara asks Akasha from Shabbos. And that's at the top of Kuf Tesvav and Aleph. Maisa Shabbos Litzeru. And once again, Rashi Lishitoso says that his Artichol Itavo, that I told you to consider this as a To'eva. And then the Gemara asked the Kasha from Shor V'chamor Yachtov, in the case of Harisha, or Chasimus Pipara, Vidoshpa. And the Gemara says, Litzru. So Rashi again says, Hazroim. Not that the animals with which you did the Harisha or the Disha should become Asuros, but rather the Zroim, which is the product of this Harisha. Rashi says that when the Gemara derives from Ki Kodesh Hilachem that Maisa Shabbos is not Asur, and then the Gemara applies the Kal V'chomer to Chasima and to Harisha, so Rashi says, why isn't Bas V'cholov included in the same Kal V'chomer if the Torah was Matir Maisa Shabbos to take it out of the Klal of Toeva? Then we should take out Bas V'chol as well. Bas V'chol is only a lav. Shabbos is a chi of misa. So Rashi says, "Umistavra." This would be about 8 lines down from the top of the page. The sura dekra aleha kamar. It makes sense that the iser of kol toev lo soklu was referring to Bas V'chol, much more so than to harisha, etc. To ha'achil toeva gufu. He is eating the Toeva itself. As the Torah says, you have to be misrachik from the Toeva. The Toeva is the Bas V'chol when you combine them through Bishol. Aval Hai, but in the cases of Harisha, and similarly in Shabbos, in Bishol, Haba Mimena, you're only talking about something that was... So Rashi says that what was the logic to apply this Toeva Gufa to Harisha? And that's also Habba Mimena, meaning the Zrayim, or the Disha. Then Rashi says the following. Rashi says, again, you have to read this Rashi a few times over to decipher it. Rashi says, Maisa Habba Al Yada. In other words, that through the animals, or in the case of food on Shabbos, you did a Maisa Harisha, or you did a Maisa Bishol. That's called in Rashi's language, Abba Al Yoda, as opposed to Bas V'chol, which is To'eva Gufa. In the case of Klai Zeron, the Gemara thinks To'eva should apply. Rashi says, Hein Atzman To'eva. In other words, again, To'eva Gufa. So that's Rashi. And in the case of Osov es Beno, we really wonder why that should come under Toeva Gufa. That the Gemara thinks that the Lav should apply to Klai Zeron until the Gemara proves from a Hekesh to Klai Behema that there's no Iser in Klai Zeron.
Because it's not Toeva Gufa.
Right. It's not Toeva Gufa. It's just Nasa Bavera, or Al Yoda Nasa Vera. Whereas Tosus gives a whole different explanation. Tosus at the end of Dibra Maskel Choresh says, Vakasha, 3 lines up before the end, Dilamalo Yechasha Bishol Shal Shabbos Toeva Gufa. If Rashi is right, then Bishol Shal Shabbos is also Toeva Gufa, because the product of this bishul is a toeva. It's toeva gufa. He has a cooked food as a result of the toeva. And Tosus introduces a whole other element into the equation. that Eino Chinami, Shabbos, would in and of itself generate To'eva, because Nasaba Avera, but it's not Nikar.
Right.
And also Vespinova Shiluch HaKan, the Kolof Minayin Tzachon, the Nikar Bahem Yisu Yoser. So in the case of Choresh or Chosem, like the case of Shabbos, that's not Nikar. Because what are you going to say? You're going to say that I recognize this Shor, I recognize this Chamor, that Nasaba Avera, how do you recognize that? And in the case of Tavshil, how do you recognize that this Tavshil was cooked on Shabbos? Whereas Pasul B'Cholov is always Nikar. And Tosus thinks that Oso Vesbino V'Shiluch HaKan is also Nikar. Because since the Shechita itself is obvious, again, how do you know to identify this Shechita as a Shechita of Oso Vesbino? I don't know. But in any event, we're talking about a behema on which an aver was done. If the aver was done on this behema, Tosa says that that's considered to'eva. And you have to add the element of nikar. So it's basically the aver was done with this chamar, with this shar, with this para, with these two animals that were shechted on the same day. And then you have to gauge whether it's nikar to make it similar to Bas V'Cholov as opposed to Shabbos, where it's not Nikar. So again, I'm just throwing out the question here that Oso V'Espino is a very difficult Hava, meaning the Gemara according to Rashi. It makes a lot more sense according to Tosfos. In any event, the Gemara rejects this Hava Mina and proves that Oso V'Espino is Mutter in the same kind of a structure that we had in Klai Behema. That since the Torah went out of its way to teach me that the vlad that in the case of Mechusar Zman, there's a psul, a psulim is be'ach, right, b'yom ha-shmini yirotzeh, so too Oso Vespino is also included on the Mechusar Zman. Again, that's a bit of a stretch, but in any event, we'll work backwards. The bottom line is that the Torah went out of its way to establish that in Oso Vespino it is Pasul L'Mizbeach. And we would have not have required any sort of such limud if we would have applied the principle of To'eva to Oso Vespino, because then it would be Oso Lehejod, and anything that's Oso Lehejod, ipso facto, is Oso Legavoa. So let's talk for a minute about Mechusar Zman, and how Mechusar Zman should be related to Oso Vespino. So again, the psul of Mechusar Zman, as we discussed yesterday, is derived from a pasuk by Yikra Chav Beis, where it says V'haya Shivas Yomim, etc., etc., V'yom Hashmini V'hola Yiratza. That means you have to pass the 7 days, and there's no Ritzi Karba within that 7 days. It's Mechusar Zman and it's pasul. Now, in the case where you shefted the mother, or the opposite, you shefted the vlad, now we have a psul of Mechusar Zman. Why? Because the first of the four avodos of any carbon is always going to be shechita, but this animal cannot be shechted. It's Mechusar Zman. The earliest time you could shecht it is tomorrow, because you can't shecht it today, you already shechted its mother, or the other way around. Now, where is the source for this psul of Oso Vespino L'Mizbeach? How do you know it's considered Mechusar Zman? So Tosus Divrei Maskil Mida Osar quotes the limud of Beyom Hashmini V'Hola Yeirotze, and also V'es Bino Nitko Hakosiv L'Lav. What does that mean? Nitko Hakosiv L'Lav. So somehow, again, this is a Gemara that Tosus refers to on Daf Pei Aleph. And if we had more time, we would go through the Gemara on Daf Pei Aleph.
The whole parak known as also as
Beno. Yeah. And we would try to figure out the drush of the pasuk, this very same pasuk that we mentioned before, B'yom HaShmini V'Holi Yerot Zalakar B'Nishev. There's a special drusha that even Osav Espino is included under the psul of Mechus Zman. In my note, he says to go back to Pei Aleph and look it up. Now, in the Toras Kohanim, in Parshas Emor, there's an explicit drasha for the psul of Osav Espino L'Mizbeach L'Akrova. And that has to do with the fact that there's a smichus parshios between the Isav Shkitas Osav Espino and the psul Be'ema L'Akrova during the Shivas Yomim Rishonim. Now, the Isav of Osav Espino is in Vayikra Chaf Beis, Pasuk Chaf Ches. The previous Pasuk in that same parashah, Chaf Beis, says, Miyom HaShmini V'Holi Yeratza. So according to the Drush and the Toras Kohanim, the Smichos HaParashios, one Pasuk next to the other, that the Psul of Mechus Zman is written in one Pasuk, and immediately after it says, Osav Espino, is teaching you that Osav Espino is also Pasuk HaKrov Midin Mechus Zman. And Al Gemara wants to know, why is that necessary? It should be possible, Osav Espino should be possible because of a different reason, and that is Toeva. So from the fact that the Gemara needs a special pasuk, and the Torah had to go out of its way to teach me that Osav Espino's pasul of Mizbeach, Petoris Mechus Zman, apparently would have been no other reason to pasul the Mizbeach, and there's no din of Lehejot Asur Midin Toeva. And that's a mirror image of what we saw before about Klai Behema, that the Torah went out of its way to pasul Klai Behema of Mizbeach. And that's based on a sugya on Laman Chesam and Beis with his special drasha from the Pasuk Sharo Keves O Eiz Yeiratza L'Kormani Shel Hashem. Apparently it would have been Mutal L'Achilas Adam. Otherwise I don't need a Pasuk to tell me that the Vlad of Kelai Behema is Pasul Mizbeach here also. Why did I need a Pasuk to tell me that Osav Espino is Pasul Mizbeach, Midin, Mechus Zman? I would have derived from the fact that it's Osul Hejo. But the answer is it's not Osul Hejo. And it's not considered Toeva. That's what the Torah is teaching me. And now we get to the end of this sugya, which is, I think, the most problematic part of the entire sugya. The Gemara asks, Shiluach HaKen Litzar. So we have a mother bird that's hovering over the eggs, or the fledglings, these little ephrochim, and the Torah says that you're not allowed to take the mother while she's hovering over the eggs. You have to first send away the mother, and then if you want you can take the eggs, but don't take the mother and the eggs at the same time. That's called Shiluach HaKen. And for some reason the Gemara thinks that Kol Toeva Lo Sochal should apply to the mother bird. Where's the Toeva here, the mother bird? I mean, according to Tosis, it's not such a problem, because you could say that if he took the mother bird, that Lakicha is an Avera, and therefore the bird itself becomes Toeva. Even though there's no change in the bird, I don't know where there's Nikar over here, but somehow at least it was Nasa Ba'avera, at least that much. So you can always ask, according to Tosis, why didn't the Gemara just answer the Kal V'Chomer from Shabbos? And just like we said, Shabbos is not Nikar Ba', so too here in Shiluach HaKen it's not Nikar Ba'. Okay, fine, that's a problem. Tosis is going to address that problem. But in Rashi's frame of reference, where you need Toeva Gufa, it's not enough to say Nasta Ba'avera. You need some sort of product of the Avera, like the boss of a Cholov, or like the Klai Hazroim. Where is there a product of this Avera here as a result of Shiluach HaKen?
That's why we have such a long Rashi.
Correct. Now Rashi has two explanations of this Gemara. I don't understand either of them. but I'll just present them to you. Rashi's first derech is to say that when he took this mother bird on top of, while it was hovering on top of the fledglings, and he violated the law of sikach, so the Torah now commands him, after violating this law, to be mekayim the mitzvah of shalech to shalach, which makes shiluach hakein a classical example of a lav hanitak liyaseh. I mean, Rashi doesn't mention that, but that's derech agav. So the Gemara thinks that when a person violates an aver by taking the mother bird, then it should be also midin kol tayavti lecha. And Rashi says that the Gemara could have given the same answer here as it gave earlier with regard to choresh b'shar v'chamar and chosin pipara, that these cases are not awesome midin kol tayavti, because it's not gufa toeva, and anything that's not gufa toeva is not included in kol shetiavti. There's no gufa toeva here in the case of shiluach haken. At best, you could say it's nasta b'hem avera, and that could apply to shor v'chamor yachtov and chosin pipar as well. And yet, we say though those are muta because the kavachomer from Shabbos, because it's not gufa avera. Let's apply the same structure here and say that shiluach haken is not gufa avera. You haven't produced anything new. He took the tzipar with, which was an avera of losikach, but it's not gufa toeva. It's nastal yod avera, but it's not gufa toeva. And this comment of Rashi here, he makes also with regard to osav espino. It's not gufa avera. Nothing new was produced by the shechita. So Rashi says that Enochinami, the Gemara could have given the same answer that it gave before, and this would be a repeat of the same shakumentari that we saw by Harisha's Shor v'chamar yachta. But the Gemara wanted to give a different answer, that we could prove the heter of Oso Vespino, or in this case of the Tzibar of Shiluach HaKel, from what the Torah says in the parasha, locally in the parasha. For example, that the Torah tells about Osav Espino that it's possible is Beach because of Mechusar Zman. Or the case is going to tell us that in the parish itself, it can't be that you send away the bird as a tikkun of this essay when the bird itself is also. That can't be. Then Rashi gives a second explanation. And he's pretty much not happy with the first, because again it's a repeat performance of the Shakavitari that we had in Choresh Bishor B'chamar Yachta. So Rashi's second explanation, which is really a pella, Rashi says that we're talking about a case where he didn't take the mother bird, he didn't do any avera by violating lo tikach. On the contrary, he sent the bird out kedin. The Torah says shalech to shalch, and then take the fledglings. That's exactly what he did. But what was Gemara's kasha? Let's focus on the moment that the mother bird, we'll turn the clock backwards, before he took the mother bird is hovering over its fledglings, and the Torah says you're not allowed to take it. That's called toeva. If the Torah says you're not allowed to take this mother bird, then it's appropriate to call it a toeva. And it should become aser olamis, because the kol toav shetiavti l'cha harehu b'bal tochal. Why? Because the Torah says you're not allowed to take it. And Rashi, in fact, accepts the second approach, or the rejection of the first approach. He's not going to accept that the avera was done in the bird of lo sikach, and therefore the bird itself should be lo kol tiavti. Because that's not what Ravashi had in mind when he said kol tiavti. He wanted the toeva to be gufa, some sort of product of the avera, not nasa b'avera. So therefore Rashi is inclined towards the second interpretation, that he did not violate avera, but since the Torah says you're not allowed to take this bird while it's hovering, so what's generated is an isa toeva on this bird liola. I mean, it's a pella. Could you imagine that every bird is usher, according to this Hava, because every mother bird at some point in its life, you know, will hover over its fledglings.
Let me just look at the last the line, just translation. Lo Amar Torah Shalach Letakol. What does that mean?
Oh, we didn't get to that yet. Okay. So Lo Amar Torah Shalach Letakol. So how does Gemara prove from the Parsha Shiluach HaKain itself that the mother bird is not Asur? The fact is the Torah says Shalach. Now the bird is floating through the air. Anyone could grab it. No one has any clue that this was a toeva, and you're creating a takola here. You're tripping up people because the bird might be taken, shechted, and eaten.
Oh, in violation.
Now, again, technically, if anyone finds the bird, it would not be an isur because he doesn't know it's that bird, and we go after rov tziporia ola mutaros him. Again, according to Rashi's second pshat, I don't know exactly how you construct that rov. Maybe because most half of the birds are male and not female, and the female birds, not all of them have children. I don't know exactly how you. But in any event, technically, you would be allowed. But nevertheless, the Torah would not have been happy or comfortable with this takola that ultimately this bird will be found, shechted, and eaten, even though technically the person who found it doesn't know he found it, and he could rely on Rove that it's not that bird. But nevertheless, that's called a takola, even though it's not really an avera. In other words, if the tzipar itself was asura, then it's not possible that the Torah would command us to do a maisa that might lead to its achila. So it must mean that the tzipar itself is not asura. Now, in the second pshat in Rashi, in Shiluach HaKein, in the Gemara's Kash of Shiluach HaKein, what's the deal with Oso V'Espino? Why would Oso V'Espino be Osor Olamis under the drush of Rav Ashi L'Socho Kol Shetiavti L'cha? So it could be the following.
That's the Havamin, right?
Right. Is the Havamin of Oso V'Espino identical with the Havamin of Shiluach HaKein according to Rashi's second pshat? And l'chora the answer is yes. Why? Because once you shechted the mother, then there's an Iser Shechit on the Vlad. So he hasn't done an Avera, but once he shechts the mother bird, he's not allowed to shecht the child because of the Lav of Shechitas Osev Espino. So therefore, at one moment in time, with regard to the other one, whether it's the mother or the son, there's an Isa Toeva, because he's not allowed to shech the animal, and that Isa should be an Isa Olamis, because the din of Kol Shetiavti L'cho, which generates an Isa Olamis. However, it's not clear that Rashi had the same shtickel Torah, the same proposal and presentation when he got to Osev Espino as he did here in Shiluach HaKein. In Osev Espino, Rashi didn't give us this insight that since you had an Isa Shechita, therefore it's considered Kol Shetiavti L'cha. Very, very difficult, this whole sugya here of special Shiluach HaKein. I mean, that's the clincher here. I mean, if we didn't have enough difficulties until now. So again, in Rashi's first lashon, just to review, we're going to say it's Toeva because he violated the Aver and he took the mother bird. But where's the Toeva itself? It's Nasav Avera, but he didn't change anything, didn't produce anything. And we've already answered the question of Nasav Avera, Liel, up with regard to Shavach Hamar and Chosein Pipara. So why is the Gemara going through the same rigmarole with the same Kash and Teretz? And Rashi therefore comes up with his second interpretation, that since it was an Isa L'Kicha, he didn't violate that Isa L'Kicha, but since it's Nesra L'Shah, it becomes Toeva and it's an Isa Olamis. So again, according to this, the Gemara's Havamina was not that the tzipra, the mother bird, is Toeva because Nasava Avera, but rather because of the Isur of Losika. That makes it into a Toeva. The Toeva is Merachikas from it. Now, again, getting back to Tosus, Dibra Maskel Choresh, Tosus, if you call, has a drasha of Mikol Eile.
Right.
And that's going to tell us that this tzipar, which he took from, that was hovering over the mother bird, is mutal gavah. And if it's mutal gavah, then for sure it has to be mutal hedja. So what was the havamina here in the case of Cain tzipar? And Tosis answers that we have to differentiate between behemoths and ophos. That the halacha of Mikol Eila is only halacha of behemoths from this bear, but not in ophos. So we can't derive ophos from behemoth. We have, for example, dinim of ophos like Torah Mubnei Yonah. They have their own chumrah, their own gadlus, their own katnus, their apostles. But we don't have anything parallel to behemoth. So we never derive ophos from behemoths. Now the Sifta gives us a summary of this long Rashi, Dibra Maskel Lo, that the Gemara could have answered from Shabbos as it did earlier, and Kol Makom Shaisi Yechol Ochiach Meinyan Atzmo, but the Gemara is looking for some local proof that there's no Isur Toeva, therefore the Gemara didn't want to prove it from Makom Acher like Shabbos. He says, Yesh Lahakshos, we said that Maaseh Shabbos teaches us that to'eva only applies to something that was produced by the avera, a new produce, but not something which is awesome. Like, for example, tavshil Shabbos, which could be awesome in this havamina, but not, it doesn't fit under the definition of to'eva because it's not bar mikach isur. In the case of Klai Yisroel, we said it's to'eva because it was produced by the mixture of these two minim. But why should that have anything to do whatsoever with Shiluach HaKein? So he quotes here in the footnote, the Ritva says that Kavanas Rashi is to answer Hatam Shal Lomdu Hetek Kalai Behema. So in other words, why didn't they derive Osav Espinoa Shiluach HaKan from Maisa Shabbos? And Rashi says either because Maisa Shabbos is a heter with davar she'eino ha'ochel gufa isur, but Eina Finami, we could theoretically derive a heter from Maisa Shabbos, but the Gemara is looking for some sort of a local heter that's built or written in the parasha itself. So we don't want to stretch our arms out to Maisa Shabbos when we could derive it locally. So that's the end of this hakafa of this whole sugi. Now we get to Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan. Now Reish Lakish is going to offer an entirely new source for the question: how do we know that Bas Bechov is also Bachila? So if you want to take a look at Reish Lakish, you're talking about 5 lines up from the bottom of the Amud. Omer Eish Lakish, Minayin Lebasa B'cholav Sha'asur. How do we know the Basa B'cholav is Asur Be'achila? And later on, the Gemara is going to derive from this same drasha that it's in Asur Ba'anah as well. Talmud Lomar, we go to the parasha of Korban Pesach. And the Torah says, Al Tochlu Mimenu Na U'Bashal Mevushal Ba'mayim. And Reish Lakish claims that there's a superfluous part in this pasuk. The sefer is completely unnecessary because it would have been derived from the Reisha. The Reisha says, Al tochlu menu na. Na means it's on the way to be roasted. It's not totally roasted. It's not roasted called tzarko. But bashel, bishel, should be derived from tzli, from na. She'ain Talmud Lomar, the Torah didn't have to tell me Mevushal, I would have derived it from Na, Ma Talmud Lomar. So here we apply a rule which is called an Eino Inyan, that if I don't need it within its own context, I take it out of its context and I apply it elsewhere. Lomar Lecha, that the word Mevushal is coming to teach you, Yesh Lecha Bishal Acher, Shehu Kazeh, it's also Asur. The Azeh, what other Bishul could be Asur? Zeh Basa B'cholav. Now, we already know in the Torah that you're not allowed to cook basa b'chol. So what is this mevushal teaching me that I didn't know? The answer is it's teaching me an iser achila, because if you go back to the beginning of this pasuk of mevushal, it says lo al tochlu mimenu. So al tochlu mimenu now means don't eat a carbon pesach that was not solely kol karcha, or alternatively was cooked, and don't eat the product of bishul basa b'chol. That's also called mevushal. So included in al tochlu mimenu mevushal is the basa b'chalav that was mevushal. Hence, basa b'chalav is asa v'achila based on this extra pasuk mevushal. The Ran says that Reish Lakish derived from Karban Pesach not only an Isra achila but also an Isra hanah, because Karban Pesach, insofar as it's kachim, is not only an Isra Achila, but it's also an Isra Anah. Anah Mikodshim is awesome. Now, the question we want to ask here is the obvious question. Okay, there's an extra word, Mevushal. But how does that teach you Basa B'cholav? Why does the hatchet fall here? And the answer is that we never found any other Isra Bishal in the Torah, except for the Isra Bishal of Gediba Chalev Imo. So if the Torah is saying that you're not allowed to take a Karban Pesach and be Mevashal it, and the Torah didn't have to say that because we already could derive it from Na, then the Torah is probably telling you that something else is included in this Al Tochlu, which is also Asr B'Bishul. Just like the Karban Pesach is Asr B'Bishul, so too Bas B'Cholav is Asr B'Bishul. And just like Karban Pesach in the case of Mevushal is Asr B'Achila, so too in the case of Bas B'Cholav, which is Asr B'Bishul, the Bas B'Cholav that you cook is Asr B'Achila. Now, in poskim, by the way, what I want to say is what I call a milsa agav urcha. In poskim, in the first siman of Hilchas Basa B'Cholav in Yeridea, there's a whole discussion about whether tzli is equal to to bishul as far as the iser of bishul Basa B'Cholav is. Tzli also included on a deraisa level in Basa B'Cholav. The Torah says Bishul, the Torah doesn't say Tzli. So you know that one of the most important commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch Yoredei is called the Kresi Uplesi. And he wants to derive from our Gemara that the Isur Basa B'Cholav applies to Bishul, but not to Tzli. Because according to Reish Lakish, the sauce for the Isur Achila is Pesach, which you're not allowed to cook. And in Pesach, tzli is mutter. Adarava, the mitzvah is to do tzli. Again, no is an incomplete tzli, but tzli per se, in a real tzli, which would constitute a kind of a bishul, and it was called sarko, that would be mutter in Karban Pesach. So if the entire parasha of Basa B'Cholav is being equated to derive conclusions to Karban Pesach, then in Karban Pesach, with tzli, if it's a complete tzli, is not only mutter but it's a mitzvah, then certainly it couldn't be included in the iser of Basa B'Cholav. And he says that even though the maskan of the Gemara is not to accept Reish Lakish, we're going to derive the iser of Basa B'Cholav from other sources, but nevertheless, it would seem that the Amoraim who rejected Reish Lakish didn't reject it on these grounds. Everybody agrees that tzli is not considered bishul, and that's two separate entities. And therefore, everybody would agree that there's no Isur Basa B'Cholav b'tzli. And it's interesting that other poskim came to the same conclusion as the Plesi, but from different sources. That min haTorah, only Bishul is also, but not tzli. For example, there's a Ran that says that Basa B'Cholav does not apply on a Doraisa level whenever there's a chiyuv called Kedei Klipa. Because Kedei Klipa is not called Derech Bishul. And he claims that Sli is something that creates a partial cooking which is called Kedei Klipa, because there's no liquid substance. But in any event, I'm just pointing out that there are many poskim who would accept the conclusion of the Plesi, but they nevertheless didn't quote our Gemara. Amar Leih Rabbi Yochanan, and now we're going to turn to Daf Kuf Tes Vav Amid Beis. Rav Yochanan received from Rav Yehuda Nasi a different source for the Isur Bishul, for the Isur Achilu in Basar B'Cholov. And we're going to see that in just a second. So he turns to Reish Lakish and he says to him, Ki ura zusha shana Revi, are you not happy? You consider it mechuar, something like disgusting, you know, something that you want to reject. The drasha of Revi to derive the source of the Iser, Achil, and Bas Bechol from Dam. Why do you, Reish Lakish, feel that you have to stretch your arm out to the parasha of Korban Pesach, when Rebbe already, you know, blazed the trail to derive the Isur Bas B'Chol, the Isur Achil Bas B'Chol from Dam? Now, what exactly is the connection between the Isur Dam and the Isur of Bas B'Chol? So we're going to open up to Dvarim Yud Beis, and there, there are two psukim that are very close to each other. One is Chak Adam Lo Sochelu Ala Artzim Shechenu Kamayim, and afterwards it says Lo Sochlenu Leman Yitav Lecha. So Rebbe asks, why does the Torah in the parasha of Dam repeat itself within a context of, I don't know, two or three psukim? It says Lo Sochelu or Lo Sochlenu. So that this Lo Sochlenu now is completely superfluous. Says Rebbe that we're going to derive Basar B'Chol HaKosam Adabra, that even though the Torah explicitly is referring to Dam, but because of this superfluous pasuk, we're going to say the Torah is also referring to Basar B'Chol. And there's a whole discussion here about why there's some connection here between Basar B'Chol and Dam, that the Torah would have added an extra superfluous pasuk in the parasha of Dam to teach me Basar B'Chol. And this has to do with a principle called Dam Mekar V'Nasa Cholov. So don't ask me too many questions about that, but there is some relationship between Dam and Cholov in the Gemara's biology. Now it's interesting that Rav Yochanan stands up to object against Reish Lakish. Why didn't you quote the drasha of Rebbe from the parish of Dam? Why didn't the Gemara object to Rav Ashi when Rav Ashi derived the Isa Achila Bas B'Chol from Kol Toeva? And the what is it? The Kiura Isa? You couldn't have accepted Rebbe's drasha? So that's a question that the Ran raises. Why didn't the Gemara ask this question earlier on Rav Ashi? And he answers that Rav Ashi was interested in deriving the Isur Hanah from Kol Toeva Lo Sochlu. Why? Because of Rabbi Avos' principle. Remember, Avos says that whenever the Torah prohibits Tehila, it includes Hanah as well. In any event, Rebbe goes on in his drasha in this price, and he says, "O Eino Ella Biecha Mikol Isur Shabbat Torah." If you'll argue that maybe the Torah in this extra Lo Sochlenu is talking about some other Isur that you're enjoying from eating, is Tzeil Leman Mishloshes Veimidos Shatorah Dreshes Ve Dovar Alomim In Yana. One of the 13 principles of deriving halachas, the hermeneutic principles, is davar lomim minyano, that if you have a pasuk which you don't know in its context what it means, then we take it out of its context and we look for something similar, and the similarity here is, I'm going to be facetious, is quite striking, is quite obvious. Why? V'ameh kosev v'dav v'shnei minim. That the pasuk itself, in its context, is referring to two minim. And that's going to give us afkan v'shnei minim in the case of Basar B'Chol, because Basar B'Chol v'shnei minim. Now, where does it say anything here about shnei minim? The Torah says, Rak Adam lo sochelu al arts tishcheru kamayim. What is going on over here with shnei minim? So the answer is, if you take a look in the parasha over there in Dvarim Yud Beis, what you'll find is that the Torah is talking about psulei hamukdashim. So let's say, for example, an animal became a balas mum, sheniftu, and then you did a pidyon. And what happens is, in the case of Psulei Amukdashim, after Pidyon, you end up with two minim. You have dinim of chulin and dinim of kodshim. What does that mean? That after you do the Pidyon, and you have a behemoth hegdesh that was niftes, again only because it became psula, what's the status of that behemoth psula mizbech after pidyon? Well, it's chulin, you're allowed to eat it, but it's also kodshim at the same time. Why? Because there's an isur what's called giza vavoda. Because in the parsha, right here in Devarim Yudbeis, it says tizbach v'achalta basar, and the Gemara in Bechoros derives from this pasuk tizbach v'lo tigzos v'achalta basar v'lo tishtes achol of shalahem. So that's called giza v'avoda. So he says the following: that since this behemas kodshim shenifsala, which was subject afterwards to Pidyon, to redemption, it still has a vestige of Kodshim, so the Pidyon does not completely remove the Kodesh. Again, and here you have to know the difference between Kodshim Gvulin, I'm sorry, between Kodshim Erek Abayis, which is Kedushas Domim, Kedushas Mizbeach. I mean, there must be a lot to talk about when you want to study the parasha of Psulei Mukdashim, but the bottom line is, we have here a kind of a tarobis, a mixture of Shnei Minim, of both Chulin and Kodshim simultaneously. And from this, we're going to derive the Iser of Basar v'Cholav, because that also is a mixture of two meaning, of Basar and Cholav. I mean, this is a real stretch. In the footnote, he says, Rabbeinu Gershon explains that what the Braisa wants to tell us is, why does it say in this parasha, Lo Sochal Nefeshim HaBasar, which is the Isur of Avram and Achai, and that is two minim, and Basar v'Cholav also is two minim. Again, I'm not sure exactly what Rabbeinu Gershon gains over here that we didn't have in Rashi's frame of reference, but again, he's looking for a two minim, and he says Avram and Achai, that the Torah says if you have the Basar and the Nefesh has already gone out of the Basar, then you're allowed to eat the Basar. If the Nefesh hasn't gone out of the Basar, you're not allowed to eat the Basar. That's called two minim. Again, there's some sort of stretch over here that somewhere in the parasha here, where there's an extra lo sochlenu, we're talking about two minim. So therefore, we should derive these extra words lo sochlenu to Basar v'Cholav. And there also it's two minim. So Reish Lakish now responds to Rabbi Yochanan's attack, and he says, "Imi ahi, if I only had the drasha of lo sochlenu, hava min, I would have said ani mili bachila, but by no lo kamashma, I need the drasha from Korban Pesach, the extra word mevushal, to teach me the Isra Anah, because in Pesach there's an Isra Anah, and I would not derive that from the extra pasuk in dam of lo sochlenu." And here the Mefarshim go to town. Why couldn't you derive an Isra Hanah from Lo Sochlenu in Dam? After all, we have the Shita Rabbi Avo, that whenever the Torah uses the language of Isra Achil, it includes even an Isra Hanah. So he quotes the Ritva here, who says that Ein Lomar Sherevi Sover K'Rabbi Avo. You can't tell me that when Rebbe darshan the extra lo sochlenu in dam to derive the Isra Achila Bas B'Cholav, he would add through Rabbi Avo the Isra Anah as well. And the reason for that is because Rebbe would not want to argue against Chizkiah. So what does it mean? Chizkiah is an Amora. In Gemara Pesachim Chafeim and Beis, Chizkiah rejects Rabbi Avo, and he holds that the Lashon Achila does not indicate an Isra Hanah. Now, we pass like Rabbi Avo, but nevertheless, Rebbe could not be a glaring steer against Chizkiah, so it must be that Rebbe could hold like Chizkiah, which means that the Torah, when it asks Achila, only asks Achila, not Hanah. However, here we have another question. Perhaps Rebbe derives the Isra Achila from Lo Sochlenu, and he derives the Isra Hanol, like Reish Lakish does, from Korban Pesach. Maybe there's some sort of a combination. Ein Lomer Sherebi Lomad Isra Hanol Midrashas Rabbi Reish Lakish of Mevushal, right? Mishum Shem Kein Lo Hayitzarch Makar Li Isra Achila, because the Mevushal is written in the Pasuk of Lo Sochlenu. So I don't need an extra Pasuk of Lo Sochlenu in order to derive an Isra Achila Basa B'chola. But now we have another question. There's a sheet of Reb Shimon ben Yehuda, which we didn't get to yet, who says that Basa B'chol is actually Mutar B'Anon. Maybe Rebbe holds that Basa B'chol is Mutar B'Anon. So the Mepharshim say it's very difficult to assume that Rebbe would argue against the Stam Mishnah back on Daf Kuf Yud Gimel, which codifies the Isra Hanan Basa B'chol. So we get to Reish Lakish, who would rather drop the ball on Dam, which would not generate an Isra Hanan, and pick up the Mevushal in the parasha of Korban Pesach, where there's an Isra Hanan. So the Gemara right away asks for Rebbe Ba'anon Minolan. If we rejected all the other possibilities of where Rebbe would, so we're assuming Rebbe would certainly accept the Isra Hanan Bas B'chol. If Rebbe did not accept Rabbi Avo's principle, and he didn't accept the drasha of Reish Lakish, because had he accepted Reish Lakish, he wouldn't have had his whole drasha from Dam. So where does he derive the Isra Hanan Basa B'chol? Naftali Be'Hach, he derives from the drasha Nemar Kan in Basa B'chol, which says Ki Am Kadosh Ata LaShem Elokech Los Vashel Gedi B'Chalev Imo V'Nemar La'Lon, and it says later on Lo Yek Kadesh. This is about this has to do with homosexuality. The Bnei Yisrael. Is now we have Exer Shava, Kadosh and Kadesh. Two words that are similar. Again, you have to know in Hilchas Drashos if you can have Exer Shava with two words that are similar, even though they're different. But perhaps this is not a Drasha Gemura, it's only an Asmat, I don't know. Is Mala Alon Ba'ano, Afkan Ba'ano. So this Gemara about Hano is the source for a major breakthrough in the Achronim, whether it's from Yosef Engel and Asvin Doraisa, whether it's the Rogatchov and Sofnas Paneach. They all come to the conclusion based on this last line that we read, that the Isra Arayis is fundamentally an Isra Hanah. And the Hanah from Arayis is the definition of the Isra. So that if the Torah has an equation to the case of a Kadesh who's Mezumah L'Mishkav Zohar, that's because of the Hanah element, and so too in Basa B'chol, which is derived from Kodesh, Kadosh, there's an Isra Hanah. Now it's interesting, because if you have this Gzeira Shava, why wouldn't you derive the Isra Achil in Basa B'chol from the Isra Hanah? You derive from this Gzeira Shava to Kadesh, to a person who's Mezumah L'Mishkav, you derive the Isra Hanah in Basa B'chol. So if Hanah is also in Basa B'chol, Kol Shekein Achil is also Ma'amah. So the answer is that we have a principle called Einon Shemin Adin. In other words, we need a lav that's explicit to teach me the Isra Achil, and that's what he derives, Rebbe, from Lo Sochlenu. So I'd both like to summarize, we now have three different possible sources for the Isur of Achila in Basa B'chol. One is Rav Ashi's Kol Toeva Lo Sochlu. Then we have Rebbe's Lo Sochlenu Ala Arts Tishbechenu Kamayim, Lo Sochlenu Laman Yitavlov. And finally we have this drasha of Reish Lakish from Mevushal in Korban Pesach. And in each one of these three cases, we're going to derive an Isra Hanah. In the case of Rav Ashi, we're going to apply the principle of Rabbi Avo, that since the Torah says, Lo Sochlu Kol Toeva, anywhere that Torah prohibits Achila, it includes Hanah. If we're going to go with Reish Lakish, then Korban Pesach is also Hanah, and therefore, Mevushal teaches me an Isra Hanah and Bas B'chol. If you hold like Rebbe, that we derive the Isra Achila and Bas B'chol from Dam, and Dam is Mutar Ba'anah, then we're going to have to derive the Isra Hanah in Bas B'chol from the Gzeir Shava between Kodesh and Kadesh. And we don't have time now for the next piece of Gemara, but let's just say by way of introduction that we're going to have a fourth Shita, and then we're going to have a fifth, And the fourth sheet, the Rabbi Eliezer, here on Daf Kuf Tesvavim in Beis, to derive the Isra Achil and Bas Mecholav from the parasha of Nevela. So that will be a Mirtz Hashem for tomorrow. Okay then?